The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you back. It is the second hour of our program. We had a great first hour and looking forward to chatting with our next guest. He is Coach Gary Blair at Texas A&M, won the national championship 10 years ago and may very well do it again. His team is playing as well as anyone in the country right now, just winning the SEC Women's Championship, getting ready for the tournament. Coach, first of all, thanks for being here and congratulations. Great to have you back on the program.
Thank you, Paul. I listen to you almost every day because we don't do as many graduate students as I have. We're not working out to 5:30 in the evening. So I get a chance to listen to you. I love your show. I love your callers. And tell Jim to keep on calling.
Coach, I don't tell you how to coach. No, I'm gonna have to put my hand up there and call you for charging on suggesting for Jim to call anymore. But seriously, thank you very much. It's great to have you on, and I was so pleased to see your victory the other day because nobody has put more. Well, I was about to say nobody's put more time into it. I think that's self-evident, but. You're at a point in life where a lot of people would have retired. I mean, you're a Hall of Fame coach with a national championship, but you keep plugging away. What keeps you going?
Seeing a lot of the people that are older in their lives keep giving back, and they keep doing it as well as the younger people. The other day when I watched Mike Krzyzewski go against Jim Boeheim, that was special. When I can see Tom Brady at 45, who looks like he's 25 and plays like he's 30, that gives me inspiration. And I get tired of people that use the word can't. And maybe we cannot do it quite as well on certain things, but coaching the game and having the right staff with you. We're into, particularly this year of COVID and everything that's going on, we're into the we movement. And if you don't have a lot of we in you on delegating, appreciating the parents that are back home, they're not getting to see their kids, and the emotional strain that these student athletes have gone through is off the charts. And I'm just very appreciative. So I'm living my dream now. I was a late bloomer anyway in life, so why hang it up if you can still get it done?
Yeah, and I think most people know what I'm talking about. And age is I don't know what age is anymore, but I mean, you're 75 years old, if I remember correctly. And you know, Krzyzewski is what, 74? Boeheim's maybe older.
Yes.
That's extraordinary to think about because in the world we both grew up in, nobody was doing. I mean, your parents may be still working, but you didn't see people very often in this type of field at that age.
Well, also due to the economy, due to everything that's happened the last couple of years, we are working longer because we're also taking care of ourselves better than perhaps our parents did back in the day. My parents were like Archie Bunker and Edith, or yours might have been like Fred and Ethel on Ricky Ricardo's show. I mean, parents were not taking care of themselves now. And we can't all look like Arnold Schwarzenegger or anything, but maybe we can just be the best that we can be. I mean, I'm not in great shape. I keep my weight down to 205 to 210. If it ever gets above it, I always still put the zero in front like a 2011 for me to force myself to get down. And I just feel like I can still contribute. The whole key in life is knowing when to leave and when you are past your prime. If I can still communicate with these young people both on and off the court, and I have a great staff, I'm not tech savvy at all. I can't figure out anything in the tech world, but I believe I can still do it. But I'll know when it's time. You will not have to face me. And I'm not coaching just because I have a great team this year. I'm coaching because I'm still contributed to society and to this coaching game that we're in. I'm learning from others still today at 75.
And I think, I mean, it's self-evident. I mean, you're 22-1. You just won the SEC, and you're ranked in the top two or three in the country. But Coach, I'm curious about something you said, because I think all of us, it's easy for me to sit here as a pundit and say this coach has done, you know, maybe he should have left earlier, or Tom Brady should have done this or that. But how do you know when that time has come?
You don't wait to start losing or for boosters or administrators or your competitors to start saying, well, he's over the hill, great coach, Hall of Fame, all that jazz, but he won't be there to see you graduate. They've been saying that for 5 or 6 years. Usually the same people that are saying that are still assistant coaches. That's why they're not head coaches, because you learn to sell your own program. You learn to do what's best for your community. I am so much more in this town than a basketball coach, and that is what I'm proud of. My Rotary Club I belong to now for 28, 29 years. I want to give back to this community, and I want to be known as more than just the guy that is playing on Thursday and Sunday afternoons trying to get W's and L's. And eventually, as soon as this season's over, I'll be out there with my golf buddies out there. And guess what? I'm not taking any strokes. If we're the same handicap, we're going to play. Tee it up. Let's have some fun. Bet a Diet Coke on it. Let's go for it.
Well, I love your attitude. Coach, speaking of all that, let's talk about your team for just a second. I know because we talked to you before the season, you felt pretty good about this group, but what has made them so special?
The ability to be able to share, okay? Share. A lot of these kids have been with me a few years, but I had an All-American with them the last 3 years. You couldn't just tell that All-American, don't do your thing. She had a great sense of being able to score and create for others. While they were learning and learning how to share, now it's easier to share as a team, because whether you have Kayla Wells there that can get you 10 to 12 to 14, or Wilson who can play both ends of the floor, or Sierra Johnson who is just sort of like the wall of China back there on the defensive end. She's the one that has to guard a Boston or an Austin from Ole Miss or the best players in our league. They learn how to sacrifice. And I told somebody the other day, this sort of reminds me of the Spurs, when the Spurs were going and how the ball moved so quick. And Tim Duncan, if he was on another team, he could have scored 25 a game easy, but on this team, he only needed to score 17, 18, do his role. Ginobili or Tony Parker, share responsibility, and the accolades will come with championships. The accolades, don't worry about who's first team this, second team this. Don't worry about it. And the first, you also have to get the parents to buy into that too in today's world. And my group of parents have done a great job of buying into this, because they never know if it's going to be their daughter who I've designed a lot of plays for or schemed for, or if I'm bringing Sierra Johnson out to set screens to bring the other player's post player away from the basket, but we might have a chance to rebound better. So I'm just picking, learning, but I've got options. I've got options, and that's what makes this team special. Ability to share in today's world in sports is unbelievable. I mean, it's hard. Which pro is going to leave and go to the next L.A. or Chicago or New York or whatever, hey, and call my best buddies up and say, hey, let's form a team of superstars? I'm forming a team of we players that can share the load. And I've got four freshmen that are not getting a lot of playing time, but they're working, getting us better every day, knowing that next year is going to be their opportunity. Paul, that's hard in today's world because everybody wants to be the person today, and sometimes it's all about being plural and sharing responsibilities.
Coach Gary Blair, Coach, you're an inspiration to all of us. Thank you for always being available and for coming on, and congratulations again, and I cannot wait to converse again as you and your great team moves toward the tournament. All the best.
Paul, I hadn't forgot about Augusta.
Oh, I know.
Everybody in the world's called me. They want to be our wingman, okay?
Yeah, Coach, so, when we were talking in November, Coach, it was the week of the Masters. We are going to we both know people that can make that happen. It's just a matter of executing it, but we'll make it happen.
All right, Paul. I love you.
Thank you, Coach. Thanks so much for coming on. Coach Gary Blair of Texas A&M, the SEC champion and projected number one seed. The women's tournament begins tomorrow. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back. Great to have all of you here. And let's check in with Jay in St. Louis. Hello, Jay. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
Jay, I am doing great. Thank you for calling.
Well, I just was watching the show, sitting in the line, getting ready to get my second COVID shot.
And, wonderful.
I heard your show last week one day when a caller called and mentioned J.C. Politz. J.C., of course, was doing the Cardinal football games and decided to go back to Lafayette, Louisiana, where his mother was living all alone, and Jack Buck had indicated to me when we were in Oklahoma City one night that they were looking for a football announcer in St. Louis. Well, I left the Cowboy Network and came to St. Louis to do the football Cardinals and work at KMOX Radio. And at that time, of course, and it's interesting to listen to people talk about the old days, I'm looking forward to that special you were talking about because, you know, the voices of the past still ring true to me. I grew up listening to Kaywood do basketball and Kentucky, and of course John Ferguson took that job at LSU, but so many of the fellows that I worked with in the SEC over the years and got to know, and it's nice to know that some of those fellows are being honored and remembered. Certainly I won't forget the guys that I grew up listening to, like Bill Stern and Harry Wismer and a whole bunch of other fellows, but it's great to have your voice because it gives me an opportunity from time to time to check in and find out what's going on. I retired a couple of years ago. I'm 87 now, but still do a little golf show with my son. And at the same time, I think that I probably envy you very much having the opportunity to work and visit with so many fans and so many coaches. It's great to hear Coach Blair talking about getting to Augusta. I hope he does, because that's a remarkable experience.
Well Jay, I don't want to out you here, but I'm pretty sure I know who this is, considering I grew up in Memphis as a Cardinals fan. And
oh, yeah.
I can't tell you what a treat this is to talk to you.
Well, it's something that I would probably wouldn't have done if I wasn't in this line getting ready to get this shot. But at the same time, I do listen to you quite often, and the success you've had with the fans of the SEC has been remarkable. And of course, the Cardinal Network, working with Jack Buck and Mike Shannon all those years.
Oh, my goodness.
22 years we did those games together, and the Cardinals are going to have a good team this season.
I'll tell you the story. Jay, as a 7 or 8 year old, I can't remember what I was, I listened to, it was the 60, maybe a little bit older now, the 64 season. I stayed up every night listening to Harry and Jack. And yeah. I wrote a letter to the Cardinals asking for signed autographs from both of them, and I got it. And it was like I couldn't believe that anybody would respond to something like that. But that was one of the as a kid, and I'll never forget that year as long as I live.
Well, I won't forget it either because, of course, you mentioned Harry Carey, what a legend he was, and he had, in our business, you might say he had 9 lives, but he
really, yes, he may have had more than that.
Yeah, he worked everywhere. But Paul, I don't want to take your listeners' time away. I just wanted to call and mention that note about J.C. Poliets because he was famous, if I remember correctly, for calling the Billy Cannon call on
right,
the radio.
Right, no, he did. And Jay, I'm really glad you're getting the shot. I'll leave you with one more thing, just from a point of history. I was listening to, I can't remember what Cardinal game it was, one night when Harry Carey, like I knew him, he read the ticker where he had just been fired and he did not know about it, and he was reading it on the air, which I'm sure you remember.
I remember it very well, and he made it quite clear that he shouldn't have been fired, and put on quite a battle on radio on KMOX for a couple of days. But as it turned out, everything turned up roses.
It did. People don't realize what a great radio station, and I'm sure it still is, but I just haven't heard it in a while. KMOX was the preeminent voice of that part of the country and maybe one of the great radio stations of all time.
Well, no question. It started really the great influx of talk radio all over the country with the success that Bob Hyland had with KMOX. We had Kerry, and we had Buck, and you go down the list of guys, Dan Kelly, the greatest hockey announcer that ever
lived. Oh, absolutely.
On and on and on. And it was a great thrill working there. And, of course, shortly after that, I moved to Channel 5 at the NBC. But
right. Didn't you do the games? I remember watching the games on Sunday on television. I distinctly remember you doing those games.
Yes, I did NFL football for NBC for about 22 years, and of course you'll remember too that at a time when there wasn't much college basketball on TV, Gary Thompson, the All-American from Iowa State, and I were the voices of the Big 8 in those days, and we had the Saturday game of the week on the Big 8 network, which was one of the first basketball networks that was created, and Eddie Einhorn, who
oh, right.
Away,
yes.
In his last year put that together, and we worked 19 seasons together.
And I mean, I would love to talk again. I know you're in line. I don't want to stop you from getting the shot, but I can't tell you what a treat and thrill this is for me as a young kid who who grew up watching you and admiring you as you later went on to do so many other things, including golf. The idea of that you would take the time means so much.
Well, believe me, I admire the work that you do, and I always enjoy the opportunity to listen, and I'm glad that I could hold on for a few minutes and just let your listeners know, because Polites was quite a character and quite an announcer, and of course Ferguson was one of the best.
Yeah, I believe it's an SEC Network documentary, Jay. I think it's coming out this fall, but I talked to somebody who was involved, but let's talk again. I certainly hope you stay healthy, and it's just so great to hear from you.
Well, it's great to hear your voice and great to have your show, and I'm a fan, definitely. All the best to you and yours.
Thank you very much. Jay calling from St. Louis. I'll talk a little bit more about who that was for those who didn't know in a minute. We are going to take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We welcome you back, and Jason is up next in Tennessee. Good afternoon, Jason.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Can you hear me?
I can. You sound great.
Okay. Hey, I just wanted to call and tell you how much I enjoyed that last call.
Yeah, for those who don't know, that man was is Jay Randolph. He was a legendary broadcaster in St. Louis, and you know, for NBC as well. And I mean, I still remember him doing the Cardinal games on Sunday on TV. He was on the radio mm-hmm. broadcast, and if you're not familiar, and obviously a lot of you aren't. But the St. Louis Cardinals have been nobody has matched them when it comes to radio play-by-play and television in later years. But they were the voice of the heartland.
I hope he calls back more stories.
No, I mean, I must tell you, I was really. As he started talking, Jason, I was listening very closely to the because it, you know, he was on a cell phone. Obviously, he was online to get a COVID shot of all things, which a lot of people are these days. And once he said his age, and I knew it immediately. And he still, you know, he was involved in the PGA Golf Tour for a number of years too after he left the Cardinals broadcast.
Yeah, so you recognize the voice, but once you said stage, who it was, huh?
No, I mean, that's what I think we're all talking about with radio. I mean, suddenly I'm 9 years old again listening to this guy on radio and watching him on television, and that is the uniqueness of radio.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I just wanted to call and tell you how much I enjoyed that call, and I wouldn't mind him calling back more stories.
Well, yeah, I would same way. Yeah, he's really very well known now in the golf world because that was I think the last prominent role that he had. You know, he did golf for NBC, I think CNBC for a long time, whether the regular tour and the senior tour. But it's just I don't know. I mean, we've had some unusual calls throughout the history of this program, but from a personal standpoint, it's hard to top something like that. Jimmy is up next in Knoxville. Hello, Jimmy. Go right ahead.
Paul, good evening. And, you know, this show you have, it sounds like it's real rewarding to your soul.
Jimmy, I will tell you this, and I'll talk more about it in a different forum, but you know, the last year has easily been the most rewarding of my career because you know, until the pandemic, I think everyone just kind of flies along and doesn't stop to think about about anything other than what's in front of you. But, you know, there's been a lot of reflection, and I would agree with you. It's a very astute assessment.
Let me, the reason I was calling, Paul, I want to ask you about the NCAA coaches' attire.
Right.
When you, I know COVID had a lot to do with them not wearing suits and ties anymore because of the dry cleaning and the COVID exposure to the suits. But, man, you have to give Jerry Stackhouse a little bit of credibility there, don't you?
Yeah. And by the way, I mean, Coach Oates still wear. There was an article about him the other day in his attire. I understand it, but Coach Stackhouse is he's number one in attire. I'll tell you that.
You think they'll ever change back, Paul? Or you think?
I hope so, because I'm a traditionalist, Jimmy, and I was brought up to look the part in terms of show respect for what you're doing. But I think we'll go back to that. I remember, as I'm sure you do, when football coaches on Saturday had suit and ties on.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but now they all got these dry fits, you know, and these pullovers. And
part of that involves the association with Under Armour, Nike. But I remember Pat Dye, Johnny Majors, Coach Bryant, Coach Stallings, Vince Dewey. These guys all were decked out on Saturday.
Right, and I don't have an issue with sneakers. I mean, that's comfortable.
No, I started a couple of years ago. I started wearing sneakers when I started traveling to New York. I got rid of my shoes. You can't walk around the streets of Manhattan in floor shimes.
You have a great day, Paul.
Hey, thank you for calling. I appreciate it very much. Good to have you on.
Thank
and let's
you.
Continue with more calls, and Sean is up next. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing this afternoon?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I was just going to touch back on a couple of the previous one with a guest, Dale, and Danny, that followed the comparison of the burning of Georgia with Sherman and the football with Charlie Brown and everything. I would kind of lean more with the Charlie Brown football with Georgia Southern in the burning of the state of Georgia. But my thing is, I was seven when they won their last national championship. And I just think it's just for the ones that have been long suffering, I think they just, you got to be able to slay the king, which is right now Alabama. And until Georgia does that, you know, I just feel like, yeah, they can be in top 10, top 5, or whatever, but you've got to take out the one on top, and right now that's Alabama. So I just wanted to let you know that and hang up and listen to your comment.
Well, thank you very much for saying that. Good to have you on. Tom is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Tom. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. What a pleasure. I watch you every afternoon. What a show today, because I was a product of the radio and television business for like 50-some-odd years. And 32 of those years was in local radio. And I know people were talking about police and the LSU games and all of that kind of stuff. And it's true. It brings back so many great memories about our great radio broadcasters. But there's hundreds of stations across the country that are not network stations or not regional stations. They're little small town 1,000-watt radio stations that brought all that they painted the picture of what we were listening to. And I thank you for highlighting radio today. It is so important. And I'm going to hang up, and I really appreciate it. I got what we call the free zones.
Well, Tom, how long did you say you were in the business?
I retired a couple of years ago. I worked in television 20 years, and I worked in radio for 32 years, and it's been a real blessing, you know. But the sports programming on these small town radio
stations,
not only Louisiana, but they just painted that picture for us back home of as we eat.
Well, Tom, what part of the state? What part of the state did you work in?
South Louisiana, Crowley, Lafayette, okay. And Eunice, Louisiana.
Because I lived briefly in Northwest Louisiana, and you know you had you had a couple of powerful stations in that state,
you had Keel up in Freeport.
Absolutely.
Legendary stations that were just just that kept us connected. That was the forerunners of why we fell in love with television broadcast.
Yeah, I think one of those stations wasn't one of those Shreveport stations partly responsible for discovering Elvis?
I think it was. Yeah. It was KWKH maybe.
Yeah, I think they called it the Louisiana Hayride on Saturday night.
Louisiana Hayride. That's right. That's correct. That is absolutely correct. But man, I'm sitting here having my little afternoon cocktail, drinking my eating my peanuts, and watching Paul, and I'm so glad you all are highlighting all of those great radio announcers and stations throughout the country that just were so important to whatever area you're from, Arizona, South Louisiana, New York, whatever, South Dakota. Wherever you were, you had your favorite radio announcers or your favorite radio stations. People were very loyal to their local radio stations, and it was a thrill to hear all these people talking about how valuable those old radio announcers were to us.
No, and one thing about it, Tom, you understand it better than a lot of us, but I mean, that was the only way you did commerce back in the day. I mean, you radio was affordable, where you couldn't an ad in a newspaper on a television station was extremely expensive.
Very high cost. But and then to dovetail into what you're saying, I know I was in radio sales for a good while in my life, my broadcast life, and it was more than advertising. All these local stations that broadcast their local games.
Oh, sure.
The little high schools. It was all about public relations. It wasn't about advertising. Advertisers knew they weren't going to have 5,000 people coming to their store the next day because you broadcast a small town high school team. They did it because of their relationship with their local schools, their local community. And it was a thrill to be a part of that.
Well, Tom, thank you. I spent a lot of years in radio, and by the way, there's been a couple of pretty good sitcoms on radio stations, and they're pretty authentic, to say the least. Hey, thank you for the call, and hopefully there'll be another one. Let's take a break. 855-242-7285. We are coming back with much more, including a couple of special guests. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back. The hour began with Gary Blair, the head coach at Texas A&M, and we ended up having Jay Randolph as well. Let's get some calls here. Coach is in Texas. How are you, Coach?
I'm good, fine. How are you doing today, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I've known Gary for years and years. I took an NAIA job over in Oklahoma in 1982. Called Gary when he was working for Leon Barmore at Louisiana Tech.
Oh, wow.
And Kim Mulkey helped me get some kids there, and I end up winning 5 national championships in the NAIA.
Did you really?
Oklahoma State University.
Well.
And Gary, the first person when I took the job there, I've been coaching in junior college, and Leon Barmore and Gary had seen my junior college team play up in Kansas City. And so I met them there, and when I took the job there at Southwestern Oklahoma, I called Gary, and first person that he told me that I need to recruit was a kid that played for him at South Oak Cliff in Dallas before he had gone to Louisiana Tech. Her name was Anita Foster. She was a three-time All-American for me. Played for me 3 years, played on two national championship teams. And every time I'd need some players that I wasn't using Oklahoma kids, I was familiar with the junior college rank, and I could recruit those kids pretty good. But Gary helped me with the kids out of Texas. And, I mean, that guy is a giver. He's not a taker. He's outstanding. You can't beat him. Love the guy.
Yeah, you know, I've been around him a few times, but Coach, for some reason today, I never really understood, like you, his philosophy, and it's so inspiring and genuine. And you're right. I mean, we both have run into a lot of coaches in our time, and he stands out for that reason. He's so unassuming.
I'll tell you what, he's just outstanding. The guy won state championships at South Oak Cliff, and he was assistant coach with Leon Barmore. They won a national championship at Louisiana Tech.
Right.
Then he was successful down at Stephen F. Austin, went to Arkansas, was real successful, and then you've seen what he's done at Texas A&M. He's just outstanding.
Yeah, I remember Leon. Was he the one that was he the one that put the Tech program on the map, or was it someone, or was that him?
Yeah, that was Leon. Well, Sonia Hogg was originally the coach.
Yeah, that's the name I couldn't remember.
Leon was an assistant coach there, but he was really the coach. I mean, she was a good coach, but
right.
She knew how to hire those assistant coaches, and he come into the job there. A funny story is when he first took the job there, Gary had been coached at South Oak Cliff in the Dallas area, and he had a player that Dennis Rodman's sister, her name was Deborah Rodman. And so I think Deborah probably helped Gary get the job with Leon down in Louisiana Tech. But there's some connections there.
Yeah, no, I was in Shreveport, and I covered a little bit of Louisiana Tech when I think Leon was an assistant there. But that became that became one of the trailblazing programs in women's basketball.
Oh, yeah, back in the early 80s. Southern Cal and Louisiana Tech. Well, Tennessee was coming on then.
But, oh, yeah.
Southern Cal and Louisiana Tech, those were the teams right then.
Well, you take care of yourself, and thanks for the call. Zach is up next in Columbus, Ohio. Hello, Zach.
What's up, Paul? How are you?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I wanted to update you a little bit. You know, I called Friday, called yesterday
sure.
about the sports analyst stuff.
You're my new prodigy.
Yeah. I went out on a limb. I was like, you know what, why not? So he was just on your show the other day, Tim May. I decided to shoot him an email and ask, you know, if we could set up, you know, a phone call, a Zoom
right.
call, whatever, so I could talk to him and just, you know, just start emailing people locally to see if they, you know, want to talk or whatever.
Well, you picked a good one, Zach, and Tim May. I've known Tim for a long time, and he could connect you with pretty much everyone in town.
Well, that's good to know. Hopefully he gets back to me.
Well, if he doesn't, you let me know, okay? Make sure that if you don't hear from him soon, just write him back. Make sure you say that I suggested it. But I talked to Tim he was on the program the other day.
Yeah, but and in so many greats on your show today. The Texas A&M women's basketball coach, what a great guy.
Yeah, no, I have to say that, you know, I mean, you obviously you want to like everyone that you talk to, but he I don't remember a coach quite take. I mean, you could just feel the authenticity over the air from him when he talked about you know, how much he really enjoys giving back to that community. He's been there nearly 30 years. Well, Zach, you stay after Tim May and tell him you need some help, and I told you to call him. And it's been really cool to have these conversations, and you continue to stay in touch, okay?
I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Zach. For those who didn't know, Zach called the other day, I think it was Friday, talking about wanting to get into the play-by-play industry. The guy that called in a few minutes ago is probably the best guy you could talk to, since he's done it at every level in the world. We're up against a break. We still have a couple hours to go, and we hope you will stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.